In the first chapter of Jonah, and the fourth verse, we read these words. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. The Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken because of the wickedness of Nineveh. The Lord had called and commissioned his servant Jonah to go and deliver his word to that people. However, Jonah, instead of obeying God and traveling northeast to Nineveh, he went southwest to Joppa and took a ship to Tarshish. It was here that his troubles began, because during the voyage of the ship, a fearful storm arose, so fierce that the ship could not ride it out. The sailors themselves were frightened and fearful as to the consequences. They tried every means within their power to come free from the storm. They prayed to their gods. They cast their wares overboard. The Word of God says that they made then tremendous efforts to literally row the vessel out of that fearful tempest, but all in vain. And at last, at Jonah's request, they cast him overboard. He was swallowed by a great fish that God had prepared. And when this took place, the Bible tells us that the storm ceased. As you read there in verse 15, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. For a few moments this evening, I want to look with you at this storm that took place as Jonah was on this sea voyage seeking to flee from the presence of the Lord. First thing I want you to notice is the storm is symbolic of God's wrath against Christ for our sins. You might think that is very far-fetched. But of course, I have not got that thought from out the top of my mind. But it is a literal truth that the storm that took place in the days of Jonah is a symbol of the wrath of God that fell upon the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's middle tree. And of course, the proof of that statement comes from none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. When the scribes and Pharisees came to him demanding a sign as to whether he was the promised Messiah, the deliverer of the people, the Savior that they were waiting for, you remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said to them. And I quote from Matthew 12 and 39. He answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so the Son of Man shall be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. You see, Jonah and the Lord Jesus Christ are linked together in contrast in a most startling and remarkable fashion. When you look That's first of all Jonah. You see, that the Bible pictures for him a downward path because of his sins. 5 times in the first chapter of Jonah, you read about Jonah going down. He went down from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa. He went down into the ship. He went down into the sides of the ship. He went down into the sea. And finally he went down into the belly of the whale. And therein you have a downward journey by Jonah because of his sins, because of his disobedience, and because of the iniquity that was within his heart. The Lord Jesus Christ also made a downward journey. He also made it because of sin. But this time, it was not for his sin. For thank God, he knew no sin. And in him, there was no sin. And Peter tells us that he did no sin. Nevertheless, for the sins of all who would come and put their trust in him, the Lord Jesus Christ made a downward journey. The Bible tells us that he who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and therein you have the Savior dwelling in matchless glory. One of the persons of the triune God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And therein you have the downward journey of Christ that eventually brought his body into the darkness of the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And there you have the two men in absolute contrast. Jonah being brought down into the tomb-like belly of the whale because of his sin. And Christ being brought down into Joseph's tomb after he paid and suffered the wrath of God on our behalf. He took my place. He died for me. And just as Jonah on the third day was in a quite startling fashion, as it were, resurrected to serve the Lord anew, so it was with the Lord Jesus Christ. He came forth on the third day to demonstrate and to declare that he is able to save them to the uttermost, all that come unto God by him, because he suffered the storm of God's wrath on Calvary's middle tree. And my dear friends, it is my desire this evening that above and beyond anything that I might say, that you might see Jesus, that you might behold the Lamb of God who alone can take away your sin, that you might find in him your everlasting refuge and your eternal Savior. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The second thing I want you to notice here about this storm, that it vividly presents for us a picture of the sinner seeking refuge. There is no doubt that the magnitude of this storm is reflected in the behavior of the sailors. Sailors, you know, are used to heaving billows. They're used to heavy seas. They more or less take them in their stride. But you find that when this storm descended upon this vessel, the Word of God tells us then the mariners were afraid. They were afraid. They became distressed and concerned lest they should perish in a watery grave. And I want you to take a good look at them. Because in those sailors, you get, in the midst of that storm, you get a powerful picture of a sinner convicted of their sin. I wonder, is there someone in this gathering this evening, and you have come to this church tonight because you want peace with God? You know in your own heart of hearts that all is not well. There's a storm raging within your bosom. You cannot find peace. You cannot find rest for your soul. And you're looking for guidance and for direction. If that is so, I would like you to just have a look, a careful look at the behavior of these sailors in the midst of this storm here. Because the Bible teaches us that the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God to the wicked. Is that your condition tonight? Has God been speaking? Has the Holy Ghost been dealing with you? Are you convicted tonight of your sin? Do you find yourself in a storm, knowing not which way to turn, knowing not what to do? Then take a look at these men. Because I noticed here that you find that they were also trying to get out of the storm. And I find that they cried to their God. But the storm raged on. Men and women, you cannot find peace for your soul in religion or in forms of religion, or in the ordinances of the church, or in the traditions of men. You can go where you will, no matter what church or denomination you might find. But in those churches and in those denominations and in that form of religion, by itself you will not find peace for your soul. Because these mariners cried to their God, but the storm raged on. Moreover, they began to unload the ship. The Bible says that they cast forth wares to lighten the ship. You see, they were seeking to give up this and to give up that the storm might cease. And so it is with some people. They have this storm raging in their bosom. They know that they're not right with God. And so they try various things. They try to live a good life. They try to give up some wicked or evil habit. They do this or they don't do that. But the storm rages on. Because you cannot save yourself, neither by willpower nor determination. You cannot save yourself. You might as well ask a man to lift himself by his bootlaces out of a pit as for you to save yourself and get rid of the storm that is in your soul. It's not reformation you need. It is regeneration. It is not some outward precept that you need to obey. You need something that's going to cleanse your heart and bring the peace of God into your soul. And then, of course, last resort, because Jonah told them what to do. He said, cast me over and the storm will cease, and they wouldn't do it. They said, no, we're not doing that. We're not sacrificing you. We're going to row our way out of trouble. And so with might and main they rowed, and they rowed, and they rowed, but the storm raged on. No peace. No peace in good works. Contrive as you wish, and seek to live as best as you can. But none of these things will take away the storm. You see, it was only when they trusted the one who sacrificed himself for them that the storm ceased. Isn't that the amazing thing? What their prayers could not achieve, what the unloading of the ship could not achieve, what the rowing and their activity could not achieve, you find that when they were told to cast forth Jonah into the storm, into those angry waves, the Bible tells us the sea ceased from her raging. It's only through Christ. It's only by coming to Him as a sinner, taking the sinner's place, receiving Him into your heart, that He will bring the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And as Romans 5:1 says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You will find it nowhere else. Nowhere else but Christ can satisfy the soul. No one else but Christ can bring the very presence and the power and the peace of God into your troubled soul. Oh, I beg of you tonight, those of you who are concerned, those of you who have been spoken to by God, and perhaps you have been trying many other things to find rest for your spirit. It will only be found when you look at the sailors, how they operated and what they did in the midst of that storm, that it might cease. Then my last thought is this: the storm symbolizes a chastisement of the Lord upon a backslidden and disobedient Christian. There's no doubt that Jonah was an Old Testament believer. In fact, when he was compelled, and it was only when they compelled him to give his testimony, that he said there in verse 9, I am an Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. But poor Jonah, through disobedience to God's truth, to God's word, he lost all fellowship with the Lord. The sad statement recorded by the Holy Ghost when he took the ship was to get away from the presence of the Lord. If you're a backslider this evening, you're one who shuns the presence of the Lord. You're not found anymore at the prayer meeting. Something else has taken its place and lured you away. No longer are you in the company of God's people, nor do you seek their company. No longer do you meditate upon God's word. And no longer do you bear a fruitful witness to the one who loved you and gave himself for you. Poor Jonah, the Holy Ghost tells us that when he departed from the presence of the Lord, he went down. And when he went down, he met with trouble. He met with this great storm. And the storm, you know, was sent in love by a loving Heavenly Father in order to prevent Jonah from going any further on that downward path. Perhaps I'm speaking to a backslider this evening, and you have wandered away, and your wanderings has brought you into the storm of God's chastisement. God has been dealing with you. You're very unhappy tonight, just as Jonah was when God began to deal with him and when a storm fell upon him. The psalmist says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. The prodigal, when he began to starve and to perish, it was then he began to take stock of the situation that he found himself in. Am I speaking to someone this evening? And once you walked well with God, once the love of God flooded and filled your heart, once you were and bore a burning and shining testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ, but tonight you're far away. You've gone down and down and down. And perhaps tonight you're in trouble, big trouble. The storm has broken. And in the midst of it, God speaks. You remember what happened to Jonah? When he was brought down into the most difficult of circumstances, he knew not what to do or where to turn. You know, in the next chapter 2 and verse 4, you notice what he says. Then said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Look again to the place of sacrifice. Look again to the one who loved you. Look again to the one who can meet with you and bless you, help you, restore you, set you forward again in the cause of Christ as he did for Jonah. Perhaps the devil's saying it's too late. Perhaps the devil's saying you're too far away. I want to tell you, the devil's a liar. If you'll turn tonight afresh and again to Christ, as Jonah did, and he was very far away. He had gone far down on the road of disobedience. But he turned, and God met him and blessed him, delivered him out of all his troubles and his afflictions, set his feet on the broad path of service, and sent him forth again in fellowship with his Lord, to declare his word and to walk with him. Oh, I tell you, there's mercy with the Lord. There's forgiveness with God that he might be feared. You remember the prodigal when he was far away, the moment he turned and began to go towards his father's home when he was yet a long way off. His father saw him. Why? Because he was looking for him. And God is looking for you tonight, my dear backslider. He's looking that you might return. And if you do, you'll find a welcome. You'll find God's mercy, his cleansing, and his forgiveness. You'll find his presence and his power. I bring before you tonight the Christ of God. I bring before you the one and only mediator between God and men. I bring before you man's eternal and everlasting refuge for your soul. What think ye of Christ? Where do you stand this evening? Are you hiding in him? Are you cleansed by his precious blood? Shall we pray? While our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and God's people praying, I would just like to say on behalf of Mr. Kearns and myself that if you are in spiritual need this evening, if God has been speaking to you, perhaps there's someone here tonight and you have been seeking for peace. You may have sought in many places. You can only find it in Christ. Perhaps I'm speaking to someone out of touch with God who's wandered away. And like Jonah, you're far down on the pathway of disobedience. There's only one way back. It's a way of confession, of honesty with God, of turning from yourself and turning to Him, and leaning upon Him for His mercy and for His forgiveness. And may I say that we are your servants for Jesus' sake. We would count a great privilege to speak with you, to open up the Scriptures this very night, to point you to the one who loved you and gave Himself for you. Father, we leave Thy word before this people. Bless it and prosper it in the thing to which Thou hast sent it. May it bring forth fruit unto life everlasting. Dismiss us now, Lord, with Thy triune blessing. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, resting upon each child of Thine, both now and forevermore. Amen.